And we're starting a new unit this time. We already finished the one that was the Bible and society. So now we're working is now the book of Revelation. So we're going to be looking at that. We will be focusing on John's initial vision of Jesus. And with this unit, we want to encourage you to see the glorious Jesus who is near to us. And I know that we're going through difficult times, just like I said, but we need to know and have faith in our hearts that Jesus is always with us. He's never left us. You know, it could have been worse, but God placed his hand there for us, so none of those circumstances could have happened. So we need to thank him at all times. And, you know, the book of Revelation, usually children and young adults are always drawn to it, but at the same time, they're frightened by the scenes in the book of Revelation. The various visions can be sometimes unsettling, leaving them with the persistent fear that they might miss the rapture. And that sometimes that does happen. And they say, did I miss it? What happened? Sometimes they go through a dreadful scene in the book and they think they're going to experience it. So we understand that it could be sometimes dreadful, but it's also fascinating. I know for a lot of the young adults, it's fascinating of everything that's going to happen. How is it going to happen? When is it going to happen? They have so many, many questions. So as one grows in a Christian, as a Christian person, right, in the Lord, we love it. We love to see what's about to happen, and we love the knowledge that is in it. The dread is often replaced with a sense of awe in the book. And we have a lot of questions as well. So Revelation actually provides encouragement for God's people. Even today, whatever you're going through, brother, sister, you know, we want to encourage you that God is with us. He's never left us. And we're going to be seeing this in the book of Revelation. It does caution us against aligning with the powers of this age. This is what the book is telling us. Beware, be careful, do not forget. In addition, this book is meant to inspire worship among God's people. And as we enter this study, we're going to examine John's initial vision. And we're going to, let us seek to enter into his presence and to be moved by the same sense of awe and worship that John clearly experienced. So, and I try to give an introduction of what is to be expected. So our title for our lesson for today, if we look at it, it's the glorified Christ. And item number one is John's vision. Letter A, the messenger. Letter B, the message. And number two, the glory of Jesus Christ. And then number three, authority of the risen Christ. Letter A, he holds the keys. And then letter B, he is with his people. And so before we start, let's go ahead and pray this evening so we can focus in the Lord. And that's why we do this. You know, we close our eyes, bow our heads in humility towards God. And so let's go ahead and do that at this time. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your awesome power. We thank you, Lord, because we know that you are always with us. You never left us. Lord, even though the hurricane was passing by through here in the valley, your hand was still upon our houses, our souls, our person, our physical person. We thank you for that, Lord. We also thank you for our brothers and sisters that we know, Lord, that you have been with them. They've lost power, but I know that it will be restored soon and that all of us can come together again to worship you and praise you because you have been good to us. For we know that you are good all the time. Lord, we prepare our hearts and minds once again this evening so, Lord, we can treasure your words in our hearts and minds and we may never forget it. And Lord, allow us to experience what John experienced almost 2,000 years ago, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask and we pray, Lord, and we continue to ask for our brothers and sisters, Lord, who have the COVID, Lord. Restore them, lift them up. Have them praise you, Lord, and all, even if all they can do is lift up their hands and just worship you, Lord, let it be. In Jesus' name we ask and we pray. We thank you, Lord, because we know that you love us and you're with us. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and start with John's vision, number one, letter A, the messenger. You know, and before we start John's vision, I wanted to see or learn more about John and who is he? What did he do? So John was one of the first disciples Jesus called to follow him. You know, it was him and his brother James. You know, after his initial call, John witnessed many of the Lord's early miracles and teachings. He was astonished with the healings and Jesus' wisdom. You know, he was just astonished by it. Occasionally, Jesus would call Peter, James, and John to be the first ones to eyewitness special miracles. I mean, to see also some special manifestations and even teachings. For example, they were present at the raising of the daughter of Jairus. They witnessed firsthand the Lord's power over death. When John saw this, he was in awe. He was awestruck. And nobody told him about it. And they were there. All three of them were present. Another example is on the Mount of Transfiguration. They saw Jesus revealed in his glory. I mean, it was so bright. They couldn't understand what was going on, but they kept on looking and they heard the voice of the Father testify that Jesus was his son in whom he was pleased. And they couldn't believe what was going on. So he experienced all of this. Also, another moment was on the Mount of Olives. They heard Jesus give the final prophecy about the last days, what was going to happen. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, they were nearby as the Savior began his great work of atonement. So these three disciples, they formed Jesus' inner circle. And they were the closest disciples. Again, there was John, James, and Peter. John was also a powerful witness of the most important events of Jesus' mission. He stood at the foot of the cross to witness the Lord's death as a sacrifice of sin for all of us. He was there. He experienced it. He saw it all. He saw Mary. He saw everything that was going on. He heard his last words, and he knew that the prophecy had been fulfilled. He was also one of the first ones that ran to the tomb after the resurrection to confirm that he was not there, that the tomb was empty. And then he also saw the resurrected Savior in awe. He was just astonished. He couldn't believe what he was seeing. You know, after the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the upper room, John became a strong pillar for the early church, along again with James and Peter. They testified what they saw. Nobody had to tell him. It was not by a second person telling him. It's something that they had seen themselves and that they were teaching the early church. They also gave spiritual direction to the early Christians and telling them, this is what we know. This is what we have been taught by our Savior. Now, during John's life, he did write 5 books of the Bible. He wrote the Gospel of John. That was the first one. He also wrote the epistles, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. And then he also wrote the book of Revelation, the one we're going to be looking at. However, for this unit, we will be looking at the last book, the book of Revelation. You know, after John had lived and experienced everything with Jesus, he introduced himself in Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, as Jesus' servant. He said, "The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him." You know, and if we look at this carefully, you know, we're seeing that God gave a revelation to Jesus Christ. And then Jesus was so good, and he is so good. He loves us too much that he said, "I need to give this revelation that God my Father gave me to my servants or to my people or to my children." You know, let's read it again. The beginning, it says, "A revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants," that's us, "what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant, John." Now, John had walked. He had eaten with Jesus. He had witnessed everything, of course, once again, that Jesus did. He had been closely acquainted with Jesus as he walked the earth. And so John knew in his heart and his mind that Jesus was the Son of God. He knew it in his mind. He knew this is. He even heard it on the Mount of Transfiguration. And he knew it in his heart when he was being crucified, you know, on that tree. Therefore, he became his servant. He said, "I am his servant." So that's the way he introduced himself as Jesus' servant. Now, John recorded to his brethren in verse 9, Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. It says, "I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus." Now, Patmos, it was a small Greek volcanic island in the Aegean Sea. It was just off the coast of Turkey, to the west of the coast of Turkey. And it is about 17 miles long, and it is known for its steep cliffs. There were some caves as well. And ancient Roman historians report that the Romans used islands as prisons here in this island of Patmos. So John was imprisoned there for his faithfulness to declare God's word. He was preaching the gospel. And he couldn't stop because of everything that he had experienced, everything he had seen, everything he had was a witness, everything he had testified about. Nobody could stop him. And that's why they sent him to that island. It is clear that John was not alone. Also in this verse that we just finished reading, he was not alone in the suffering for the gospel. That's why he called himself a brother, a companion in the suffering. I am just like you. I am one of you. And he said, but we need to be patient. That's why he said patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, because Jesus gives us patience for whatever we're going through. We know from this description and some of the visions later in the text that Christians were undergoing a time of severe persecution. And that's why it was important that God gave this revelation to Jesus, for Jesus to give to us, so that we will never fail, that our heart will not go into, let's say, depression. It would not fall or falter, that our faith will be strong. So God knew when the appropriate time was. You know, in the first century, there was a small number of Christians and churches in a very pagan world. You know, all these churches were going through a difficult time. Yet this group of people from the various ethnicities and statuses across the known world had become a target of hatred. You know, and that's happening even today. So, you know, if you tell them that you're a Christian, oh, and they start telling us names. They say, oh, you don't love these people. Oh, you don't love this certain type of people. But it's not really that. It's because we know what the Bible says, and we don't hate them. We actually love them. I mean, we want them to turn from their ways. You know, we become the target of hatred from the great powers of this earth. Remember, the great powers are Satan and their diabolical spirits in this world that are against us. Therefore, John was feeling the same pain that his brethren were suffering. And that's why he tells them that. And I just wanted to mention on a side note, you know, every day here today in the world, 8 Christians worldwide are killed because of their faith. Every single day, 8 Christians are killed. You know, doesn't sound like a lot, but when you add every day, 365 times 8, that becomes close to 3,000 or 4,000 people killed a year because they believe in Jesus Christ. You know, every week, 182 churches or Christian buildings are attacked. You know, they go in, they rob, they burn them. And, you know, we've heard some of those that happen even here in the United States. Well, this is throughout the whole world. You know, every month, 309 Christians are imprisoned unjustly just because they're preaching, just because they're witnessing to somebody else. Somebody, let's say they're doctor's waiting room, they're there, they're testifying about God, and all of a sudden they just start taking them away unjustly for no apparent reason. You know, last year over 260 million Christians in the world experienced persecution. That is a lot. So what John was going through, he said, I know what you're going through, brethren. I know, you know, I feel it. I know what you're going through, but I'm here to encourage you. And that's what we're trying to do today. You know, the top nations that are following Jesus are the people that are in these 5 top nations. They're following Jesus and they're being persecuted. The first one is North Korea. You know, the second one is Afghanistan. Number 3 is Somalia. Number 4 is Libya. And then number 5, Pakistan. These are the countries where they're preaching the gospel, they're following Jesus, and they're hit the hardest with persecution. You know, persecution is definitely even on the rise every year. Every year there's a report and it's given out. And every year there's always an addition and more being persecuted. Thank God here in the United States, we're not being persecuted like them, unjustly imprisoned, just being killed just because we say that we're Christians, or our churches being burnt or being robbed whatever they could do. You know, these are the things that we can give the Lord. Be thankful for everything that we have. Now John continued writing in verse 10, coming back to our lesson. Revelation chapter 1, verse 10 says, on the Lord's day, this is John writing, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet. You know, on the Lord's day, that verse, it refers to Sunday. The followers of Jesus had begun to gather on the first day of the week in celebration of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. On this day, John was worshiping in the Spirit when he was given a supernatural vision. He was eager to share this vision with the churches, just like Jesus was. He wanted to share it. He said, I need to encourage my followers, my brethren, because he's going to share everything with us. That's why he calls us even brethren. I have to share this. And John was experiencing the same thing, the eagerness to share the vision that he was having from Jesus. Now, John knew that those who could grasp and understand the vision would be immensely blessed by it. That's why he wanted to share it. So let's look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, that says, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. With everything happening in the world around us, we know that the time is near. I mean, when I was growing up, I used to hear, you know, let's say, for example, sometimes that there's a hurricane, very few. And then very few earthquakes and very few, you know, wars going on. And then as the years have been going through, now we hear everything more constant. And we know that the time is near. We need to keep God's words in our hearts and know that they will take place. So that is letter A. And what we've seen is the messenger. Who is John? Who was John? What did he do? Well, we know that he was there with Jesus. Jesus had him as one of his closest disciples, and he was there. He taught him. He taught him that the prophecy was being fulfilled with him, and he held everything in his heart and mind. So that is the messenger. And now we're going to go to letter B, the message. Now, John was to share the message he received with the seven churches in the Roman province of Asia. So in verse 11, Revelation chapter 1, verse 11 says, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. These churches were closely affiliated with John because they were under his pastoral care. He would go and visit them. He would go and preach, and he would teach them. They were located in, again, remember, Western Turkey. So I don't know if you can see the slide there, but there was a slide, and you can see all the seven churches. They're all there, and they're on the west side of the country of Turkey, and then there's the Aegean Sea. And Patmos was there, the small little island. So that's where they had placed him because he was preaching the gospel. Some have taught and preached that these churches, these seven churches, stand for different types of churches. That's what they've done, and I used to hear it as I was growing up. And then I've also heard them that they say, you know, these are different eras in the history of the church. But this is uncertain. And honestly, I think we should take what John wrote to these churches and apply these messages to us, just like we do with Paul's letters to all the various churches. So I think we should be doing that. Now, John greeted the churches as if he was dispatching a message directly from the throne of God. He extended grace and peace from Jesus and the Spirit, directing worship to the Father. So if we look at verse 4, this is Revelation chapter 1, verse 4. It says, John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne. So in this verse, John extended Jesus' grace and peace to the churches because they were being persecuted. He was saying, grace be upon you and peace be upon you. You know, this means that God equipped his saints with courage. He gave them courage and he provided supernatural peace in their hearts. The seven spirits are the seven spirits of God, whom is watching everything his children undergo and experience for his name. You know, in Revelation chapter 4, verse 5, it explains it. It says, from the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. So this is, explains it, that the seven spirits are actually the seven spirits of God. Jesus is clearly the focus in this message. So if we read verses, and we're going to read verses 5 through 8 to see the titles John used for Jesus. It says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness," first title, "the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen." It says, "Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen." And verse 8 says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." So the titles John used for Jesus refer to his redemptive power and his authority. The most important point of all of these verses is that God himself declares his authority over all things. He said, "I am the Alpha and the beginning. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. Who is," because he was at the beginning, "who was and who is to come, the Almighty." God is in control of everything, in other words, brothers and sisters. So this is the message. This is the message that is coming from John to tell them, this is Jesus. He is the one that's giving the message. I'm getting it from him. It's not from me. It's not because I dreamed about it. It's not. It's because Jesus gave it to me. And these are his words. So that is when we're going to look at what the message is. But before that, we're going to look at the glory of Jesus Christ. If we look at verse 12, Revelation chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands." So John first noted seeing seven golden lampstands. This image, of course, resembled the sanctuary in the Holy Temple. In the Old Testament, the temple symbolized God's presence among his people upon the entire earth, or for the Jews. It was a place where heaven and earth overlapped, where God was enthroned between the cherubim. The Spirit had made John's location a sacred place, in other words. And so John then saw someone among the candlesticks. If we look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 13, it says, "And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest." Now, the last time John had seen Jesus was on the Mount of Olives, as he was taken up before his very eyes into heaven. And actually, after that, it's when Jesus appeared to thousands of people. He saw him again. Now, John was seeing the ascended Jesus, of course, at the Mount of Olives, but also he saw him again after he appeared to all of them. He was astonished and overjoyed. And he saw him dressed in a long robe this time and a sash similar to the clothes of the high priest. He was overjoyed and said, "The same one that I had seen, now I'm seeing him again." Revelation chapter 1, verse 14 says, "The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His blazing eyes were full of both his compassion, his passion, and penetrating vision." It tells us that there is nothing that escapes his sight. He's watching us at all times. He knows what we're going through, brothers and sisters. He knows the persecution. He knows what we all go through. In Revelation 1:15, it says, "His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters." So John's vision in Revelation chapter 1 served as the opposite or a comparison of Daniel's vision of a statue representing the successive kingdoms of the ages in Daniel chapter 2. And if you remember, the statue had was composed of several items such as gold and silver and copper. And the feet, the statue of the kingdoms, was flawed, the one in Daniel chapter 2, because it was the feet of iron and clay. That means it was not stable. It could be easily broken. But Jesus' bronze feet are perfect, and nothing can break it. When he speaks, His voice thunders like the rush of mighty rivers. All other voices of man or angels are drowned out because his word alone prevails. He is the one that he's in command. He takes over and he is in control once again. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 16, it says, in his right hand, he held seven stars. And coming out of his mouth was a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. You know, the sword from his mouth represents the decisiveness of his word. In other words, he has the ability to make decisions quickly, righteously, and fairly at the same time. He knows that he's going to do what is just, what is right, what is fair. In Jesus' face, we behold the glory of God. If we see in Revelation chapter 21, verse 23, it says, the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. So like Moses and the prophets of old who witnessed glimpses of God's true splendor, John was overwhelmed and overcome by his glory. The only thing he could do was to fall down because he had lost all of his strength. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 17, it says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. So John fell stretched out on the ground before the glorified Jesus. He knew in his heart that everything Jesus had told him had come true. So he was compelled to physically submit himself to the authority of Jesus. This should be the same response of any one of us in front of a living God. Total submissive worship. You know, Jesus' appearance at the beginning sets the tone for the remainder of the book of Revelation. Our Lord rules over all creation and powers, and he is the glorious Christ. So we've seen the glory of Jesus Christ. So when John saw this, he was just overwhelmed. All he could do was, his body could not contain it. Not only that, he fell to the ground and he just was humbled by Jesus. Now we're going to go to item number 3, authority of the risen Christ. He holds the keys. Now, when John fell before Jesus, the Lord laid his right hand on him, as we saw earlier. Placing the right hand on John signifies that he gave him the strength, because in our bodies, we don't have the strength. We can't take it. God's glory is too much for us. So when he placed his hand upon him, he gave him the strength. Not only that, he also gave him the authority. For what? To continue preaching the gospel and to be witnesses of him. In the Old Testament, using the right hand was used to convey blessing. Even the thumb of the right hand of the priest was anointed during ordination. With encouraging words in his own right hand, Jesus assured his faithful servant John. He told him, I will strengthen you and I give you my authority. So the Lord instructed John not to be afraid. That's what he told him after he touched him. Obviously, the Lord gave John the strength to withstand the heavenly vision. At the same time, encouragement from the circumstances faced by the apostle and the churches was given as well. So this encouragement was rooted in the declaration stated in verse 18. So if we look at verse 18, that says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, it says, I am the living one. I was dead. And now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. You know, this is beautiful, saying that, you know, he was dead, but now look at me. I am alive and I will last forever and ever. That is wonderful news for all of us. And I'm pretty sure it was wonderful news for John. And it should be for us, brothers and sisters. We know that now Jesus lives forever and ever. You know, and he says that he holds the keys of death and Hades. You know, in ancient times, when someone held the keys to anything, it represented that they had access to. And it spoke about that person's status, that he was important, and, you know, that he was the man, as people say today. In other words, Jesus was alive and he had dominated and conquered both Hades and death. And some of you might ask, well, what is Hades? I'm glad you asked. Hades is the Greek translation for the Hebrew word sheol, meaning grave and hell. It is the home of the dead without Christ. It is filled with wicked and destructive souls. And this place is a blazing furnace where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus underscored his power and dominion in this verse. And he said that death is not to be feared, brothers and sisters. And he says we shouldn't be fearing this because he has triumphed over all of this. His authority is confirmed and on display in his post-resurrected state. He says he's alive. He says, you know, he's going to be alive forever and ever, and he has the authority over all of this. So that is letter A, he holds the keys. Now we're going to look at letter B, he is with his people. So at the conclusion of the chapter, Jesus explained the mysteries of the lampstands and the stars. If we look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 19 through 20, it says, write, therefore, what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and of the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. The lampstands are the seven churches of Asia, which were mentioned in verse 11. The churches are located in cities that are in a semicircular geographic arrangement. And we're going to, if you're seeing the same slide again, you know, if you see all the churches were in a semicircle. And the lampstands are arranged in the same manner, just like the churches, for Jesus stands among them. So Jesus was among the lampstands. So what he is telling us is that he's among the churches. So Rock of Ages, Jesus is there. He's among us. He's never left us. I know that we're going through the COVID. We can't meet together as brothers and sisters and to worship together and to feel the hugs and the embraces and to shake hands and to give hugs and everything. I know we can't do that, but I know that Jesus is still with us. We are the church. He hasn't left us. These churches were suffering persecution, coming back to the lesson. They needed to make a choice between either remaining faithful to Jesus or yield their allegiance to the Roman emperor. Same thing is for us. You know, everything that we're going through, I know it's been difficult. You know, we've been separated from our brothers and our sisters, but this is now for us. Are we going to remain faithful in the Lord, or are we going to yield to the things of this world? Oh, I can't go out anymore. I can't be with brothers or sisters online, or I can't do this, I can't do that because I'm afraid. Jesus is telling us, do not be afraid. I'm in charge of hell and Hades. I have it all. I've conquered. I have triumphed. I'm the one that was and is to come. In their hardships, what we're going through and throughout all the events to be revealed in this vision, of course, in Revelation, in the book of Revelation, the brothers and sisters were reminded that Jesus stands with them. And I just want to remind you too, brothers and sisters, he remains with us. He hasn't left us. Where is our Lord when we face internal pressures, you might ask? Like what? Like depression. Some people, we know, because they've been separated from the church, they've fallen into depression. But brother and sister, Jesus is there with you. He hasn't left you. He's among us. And I know that some people might say, well, I feel lonely because I don't see my brother, my sister. I don't feel the embrace. I don't feel that. I don't feel this anymore. What happened to everybody? Brother, sister, I'm here to remind you, to tell you, God is with us. He hasn't left us. Some people are becoming stressful and they don't know what to do because they had a routine. And I always did this. I always did that. Not only that, there's domestic violence. Even sometimes because they're so stressed out, they have anxiety. Brother and sister, I'm here to remind you, and John is here to remind you, no matter what you're going through, God is still with us. Because what about the external pressures? Again, like COVID and the hurricane that came by. What if something happens? They're saying it's going to rain again. What if I get flooded again? You know, don't worry. God is with us. He's going to be with us. He is with us. We must never forget that he is among us, just like he is with the churches. And that's why the churches were strategically placed and they were strategically in that semicircle just to demonstrate to us that God is with us, is among us. In the ancient world, the seven celestial bodies visible to the naked eye were considered the wandering stars. They looked up to the stars and they said, oh, that the ones that we can see, those wandering stars, they would say the movement and the positions of these stars teach us or tell us, or they're tied to our history. That's what the ancient people taught or thought. We are reminded in John's vision that God's people have the assurance of knowing that that history is in fact in the right hand of Jesus. Everything is in his hand. He's in control. He holds the seven stars in his right hand, and that's what he says. You know, the English Bibles translate a Greek word here as angels. However, this Greek word, which is angelos, is used throughout the New Testament. It's actually a simple reference to one who carries a message. In other words, they're the messenger. So angelos refers to the messengers of the gospel at these churches. So the term angelos can be called stars, which means that the servants of the word are held in Christ's hand. So every time you spread the gospel, brother and sister, while you're in the doctor's office, while you're in work, while wherever you go, wherever you're among your own family that are non-believers, you're in what? In God's hand. You're always there. We are that angel. So through the preaching of the word of God, you know, history is moving along its course according to God's plan. So God is planning everything for us. We're in his hand. He's planning everything, the words that we should say, who you should spread the gospel to, and everything is being placed in history. He has all of it in his hand. This is what he's trying to remind us and to encourage us. This was a wonderful reminder to the Christians at that time and to us now that Christ himself is in fact moving history along. You know, in these few verses, John enabled us to see a vision of Christ working behind the scenes again. He shows us that we are part of a great plan governed by him. As Christians, we face trials, and we do. Sometimes they're difficult. And I know, brother or sister, you know, you're going through trials right now. And sometimes we feel like the Lord is too far away. Even churches experience such seasons as well. They feel God is not with us because we're not getting together. And we must take to heart that the truth about our situation is that the risen Lord stands near and he strengthens us. He's touching us. He has his hand upon us. He wants to strengthen us. He says, I give you authority. Keep on preaching. Keep on doing it. And that's what we're doing, brother and sister. That's why, you know, you see Pastor Soto, Pastor Duke, you see me and trying to encourage you. And we're not giving up. I know that some churches have closed because of everything that's going on. They're not preaching anymore. They're at a standstill. And we want to continue because God says, I have my hand upon you and I'm encouraging you and I'm going to give you the strength. And we're going to keep on doing it until God comes or until he takes off his hand off of us. But I can tell you and I can assure you, he will not take off his hand. And he also assures you and me that we will share in the glory to come if we continue. And he intends to use us to bring about his purpose. For those who are not walking faithfully, beware, because the Lord is close. His penetrating vision sees everything, and his word will pierce every heart. Okay? So I'm going to stop here. And this was letter B. He is with us, his people. And I don't know if we have any questions, so let me ask Omar if he has any questions. Omar?
Yeah, we only have one.
Okay.
Can we still be able to receive visions today? And so, we do, but okay. I just want to make sure that we get this. This is in Acts chapter 2,
okay.
Verse 17. Give them a moment to find it for them. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. So that's just from Peter. So I'm pretty sure if he says it then when the Holy Spirit had just come, I'm pretty sure in the last days, which we're closer to, it's still applicable today.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Omar. And that is true. And I just want to share a word of caution. Yes, and we will see visions in the last days. And we always have to apply the Bible to it to see, is it coinciding with the Bible? Because sometimes there are people that are going to mention, I saw this vision and I saw this. And then we have to bring the scriptures to say, okay, is it coincide? Does this say what Jesus taught? Is the vision the same? So we, a word of caution to our brothers and sisters out there. I don't want us to follow, you know, those people that are always seeing different visions, or they say, let's do this in the church because I saw this, you know, and I'm going to mentioned some things that sometimes that I've seen even on YouTube, and you mentioned YouTube, that sometimes they say, you know, God gave me this vision. These are brothers and sisters in churches. I've seen this vision. And then when you start seeing the vision, say, hey, that coincides with the movie. That's a movie. I remember I saw this in that movie or certain movie. That has nothing to do with the Word of God. So I do want to share a caution of, you know, for those visions. You know, sometimes that's what people do. They want to bring their own and they say, oh, God gave me this vision. So just a word of caution for that. And be careful who you follow. Because yes, visions will happen, you know, in the last days, just like Brother Omar said. But, you know, does it coincide? Does it say what the Bible says? Or are you picking up things from what? From movies? Or from things that are the trend right now? What's going on? So you need to, you know, we need to ask God, give me that spirit of, you know, is this the right thing or is it not? And I can't think of the word right now, but, you know, we should be able to ask the Holy Spirit, is this from you, Lord, or if it's not? Okay, so thank you, Omar, for covering that. If we don't have any more questions or
no?
Well, we appreciate your question, who submitted that question. Also, for any chats or any encouragement that you give us, we love to hear that. We ask that you continue to tell your brothers or sisters, your family, that there's still a church that is still preaching the gospel, because God is with us. And this is just the beginning, the first, you know, chapter of Revelation that we're going to be looking. Our unit will continue with the other chapters, and we're going to hopefully not spend too much time in it. You know, oh, we're going to spend so many weeks with the book of Revelation. We're not. We are going to want to encourage our brothers and sisters, especially everything that we're going through. So at this time, we're going to go ahead and pray for any needs that our brothers and sisters might have out there. If you're going through an illness, brother or sister, and also for the offering that, you know, if you submitted or donated, we're going to pray for all these things once again. So let's close our eyes and humbly, you know, bow our heads in the name of Jesus. So Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, because of your word. Thank you, Lord, because you have shared your word, Lord, through our brother John, Lord, that is bringing it even to us. Lord, for those, all of us that are going through persecution, all of those that are going, Lord, through these terrible times with the COVID and the hurricane, Lord, we ask that you, Lord, help our brothers and sisters where they need, Lord, whatever they need, the electricity, the water, Lord, the transportation, Lord, that you, Lord, put everything into place. We know that everything is in your hands. Everything is in control. You set the plan, Lord. You give the history, Lord. Everything is in your hands. We also ask for those that are going through the illness, Lord. If they are going, Lord, through fever, through sore throats, Lord, whatever's going through their bodies, Lord, we ask for Pastor Soto, Lord, that you touch him, Lord. Just like Jesus, you know, touched John, Lord, to give him the strength, Lord, and to give him also, Lord, the authority. Lord, we ask that all the ones that are ill, Lord, that you stretch out your hands towards them, Lord, that you talk to them, Lord, to their spirits, and let them know, Lord, that you are always with them. You never let them go, Lord, that your piercing vision is always watching them, Lord. And also we ask for those that are donating or giving, Lord, to your church, Lord, so it can continue doing these type of things, Lord, preaching the gospel. We ask, Lord, that you multiply whatever they've donated or give as an offering, Lord, that you, Lord, continue, Lord, to bless them so they can provide, Lord. We ask you in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, Lord, and that they can tune in, Lord, next Wednesday with a continuation of the book of Revelation, Lord. We ask you in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and we thank you, Lord, for everything. Amen. So, brother and sister, thank you for being with us once again. We appreciate you tuning in. I know that, again, there's some of you that couldn't, but hopefully it is recorded, and that way you can watch it once that electricity power kicks in, and let us know how it's blessing you. In Jesus' name we ask you, and after this we have a video. We ask you, and we thank you. Thank you for everything. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.